Genesis chapter 14, and we'll read from verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, Give me the persons, and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich, save only that which the young men have eaten, and a portion of the men which went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. After these things the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield, and thy exceeding great reward. Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 8. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Chapter 28 and verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. One last scripture, Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. I think you will realize it is quite impossible to enter into all the detail found in these passages, but we'll endeavour just to speak briefly about them. In the very beginning of the book of Genesis, we have the account of God making the heavens and the earth. He made them. They belong to Him. And then we find in chapter 11 that they say to each other, "Come, let us build a tower up to heaven and make ourselves a name." The attitude of man to claim everything for himself. Then we find the story in chapter 14 of different confederacies striving together, and God intervenes. And through Abram, the man of faith, the position is secured, Lot is recovered, and things are the way God wants them to be. And this remarkable person comes into view, Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God. We learn about him in Hebrews, and it's well worth considering. We haven't time to consider it. But simply to say that Abram, the man of God, the man of faith, lifted up his hand to the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, and in so doing became superior to all that was around him. He had no need to covet anything that belonged to earth. Having trust in the Most High God, his pathway was secure before him, in implicit trust in the one who could provide for him in every emergency, in every difficulty. Wonderful God and a wonderful man of faith. And because he acted in this way, refusing what the king of Sodom offered to him, because he acted in dependence upon God and in independency of man, God says to him, "I'll be your reward." Oh, dear brethren, what a lesson for us. I think as we get older, one by one, the props are taken away from us that we think are so essential for life. And we find that there are better things. Things that are simple, but things that are intensely satisfying. And that is communion with God. And I believe that Abraham knew this in a very, very real way. "I have lifted up my hand to the Most High, the possessor of the heavens and the earth." Wonderful declaration of faith. And by so doing, let me say it again, he became independent of all that was around. And as we said this afternoon, God has never rescinded the right of this possession. The heavens and the earth, they belong to him, and they always will, and man is powerless to take them out of the hand of God. And he can use them according to his will. And that's why I read the passage in Deuteronomy 32. Those who read the works of Mr. Darby will remember the article that he wrote about man's progress in this world. And that man of God saw clearly that in the end times there would be a resurrection, if you like, of all the nations that were connected with the land of Israel, with the nation of Israel, as we find in Scripture. And this is what we see today. The emergence of the nationalistic spirit that gradually is weeding out those nations to take their place for the final day. In Deuteronomy 32, God, the Most High, the supreme ruler in the world, he arranged that nations were to be placed in proximity to the land of Israel, the nation of Israel. And in this book that we have in our hands, we don't read about India and China or any of those nations, for the simple reason they were never in contact with the nation of Israel and have no part in the Word of God. The day will come when all those nations will be brought into subjection to our Lord Jesus Christ, as we hope to see. But in Deuteronomy 32, the Most High, He placed them just as He wanted them. I don't want to use the term pawns, as if God was a supreme chess maker. Don't want to use that expression. But God just puts the nations where He wants them in relation to His beloved people. Why? Because in His mind, the Most High, the ruler, supreme ruler, my people are going to be the same. And He'll never depart from that. And all the nations of the world, they can strive together for the extermination of Israel, and they'll all fail. What God decreed in Deuteronomy 32 will be fulfilled, and it might not be very long before it is fulfilled. Gradually we see things falling into place, and what God has decreed will take place. They will be the head and not the tail. There was a time when they were the head and not the tail. But through disobedience, through idolatry, they forfeited their wonderful place of privilege and dignity. That's why we've been reading together that Nebuchadnezzar was brought in to begin the times of the Gentiles. That will disappear. God will deal with that in His own time. He's the Most High God. He has quite sufficient power to put into effect what He wills. And so let us remember this. God has a plan. He won't in any way depart from it because of man and his ideas. He will see to it that His people will be in the place of supremacy. Oh, there are wonderful prophecies, glowing prophecies as we read them about the future blessing of the persecuted people, Israel. Marvelous blessings when princes will come and serve them, the kings of this earth that have ill-treated them, shunned them, ridiculed them, persecuted them, will come and humbly serve this nation. God will see to it. And oh, dear friends, it's because God is the Most High that He can accomplish this. Not United Nations, not any political organization, not any great power that man possesses, however great it might be. It's the Most High, the possessor of the heavens and the earth, that will bring things into being as He wants them to be in accordance with His will. Wonderful faith for us to have. And let us say it again. This is why it makes the intelligent believer in the Word of God independent of politics or anything else. We too can use that language, lift up our hands to the Most High, and depend upon Him in the working out of His will as far as this earth is concerned. In Matthew 11, what a touching passage it is. The Lord Jesus is ministering in the region of Galilee, Capernaum, Chorazin, Bethsaida, and they didn't want Him. Very, very sad. Great miracles, great power, great teaching, and they were apathetic. We could have understood if the Lord had retreated somewhere to pray with a broken heart because of all that was going on and the apathy that those towns, those cities showed towards Himself and His ministry. But He didn't. At that time when He was rejected, lifts up His voice, "I thank Thee, O Lord, O Father, Lord of the heavens and the earth." Isn't that remarkable? The Son of Man here upon earth, the Son of God in lowly subject manhood. There He is in the midst of apathy, rejection of Himself and His ministry, and quietly, humbly, we can almost say happily, He lifts up His voice to His Father, Lord of the heavens and the earth. I think this indicates the tremendous trust that the Son of God as man had in his Father here upon earth. Oh, how short-sighted they were in those cities, occupied with their own affairs, pleasures, politics, whatever, their own natural affairs in their homes and their businesses, their pursuits, no time for the Son of God. And the Lord looks far beyond all that and looks forward to a day when the whole universe will be subject to the will of God in him, and there will be blessing, and the power that is resident in himself will be exercised for the blessing of all concerned. And oh, how many cities, how many nations will be blessed under his wonderful rule. Oh, I find tremendous comfort in this as I see the Son of God speaking to his Father in this way. There's no despondency. He's not upset. He quite understands how the human heart is apathetic and rebellious towards him and towards his God. But there are greater things going to happen. God is not going to be thwarted, the Lord of the heavens and the earth. I thank thee, O Father, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. The Father's revelation of greater things, the babes, the humble, the simple, the trusting, not the high-born, not the intellect, the elite, not those people, those who were prepared to take a humble place, were those that the Father delighted to reveal things to. Things that far outweighed anything that man could provide in the way of blessing and satisfaction. Do we believe that? Do we all believe that here? If we did, I'm perfectly sure we wouldn't waste our time in many of the pursuits that fritter away valuable time and rely upon the Father who can provide for us all that is best and satisfying and things that are centered in the Lord Jesus. Think of these cities as they ignored the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says to his Father, all things are delivered to me of my Father. Everything was in his hands. And that being so, all things were available for those who were ready to have them in faith and in dependence upon the Son of God. And we are brought into a realm that's far beyond our understanding. No one knows the Son but the Father. How could they? How could anyone understand that lowly man from Nazareth was the Son of God, the Creator of the universe? How could they understand that he was God manifest in the flesh? No one can understand it. Beyond understanding, no one knows the Son but the Father. Though, dear friends, again let me say how wonderful to be able to enter into that realm, the realm of the Father and the Son, and the affections that belong to that realm, and to be privileged to enter into them, as we find in John chapter 17, far beyond anything that this poor, sad world has to offer. In the end of the gospel, we find the Lord Jesus, the man who has gone through death, and what a death. Shameful death, as we sometimes sing. An ignominious death, cast out by the nation, condemned to death by the Gentiles. And there he is, triumphant, out of death, and appearing to his own. And look at them, a broken company, 11 disciples. Before ever the testimony of Christianity began at Pentecost, there were broken conditions. Judas, the betrayer of the Lord Jesus, had gone. But to those 11, in Galilee, place of reproach, place of the Gentiles, place of opposition to the things of God, in that realm, the Lord Jesus says to them, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Here is the Most High in person here in the Son of God. Be sure of that. Same person that is talking. Here is the one that we read of in Genesis 14. He's here in flesh. The carpenter, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Most High. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. To work out political things? No. To protect his own as they are left here in testimony in this world. Whether you view it in a simple matter today in relation to the testimony of the gospel, or whether you view it in the future in a dispensational sense, the truth is still the same. It's the Most High, the possessor of the heaven and the earth, whose power is available for all those who seek to be true to him in this world. How often have you, dear brothers, who have been asked to take a meeting, a ministry meeting, gospel meeting, and a few minutes before you have to step up on the platform to speak, you say to yourself, I wish I hadn't accepted this. It's because you feel your weakness. You feel you're inadequate. You feel that you're not capable to deal with the matter. Good for us if we always feel that. But oh dear friends, how wonderful to remember, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. If we are called upon in the Christian testimony to take part in any form of service, whatever it might be, the power is not in ourselves. It's resident in the Son of God and available for us in the power of the Holy Spirit. Lastly, Ephesians chapter 1. What a wonderful portion. We spoke about Genesis chapter 11. Come, let us make ourselves a name. Come, let us build something that will reach up to the heavens. Man's arrogance and pride and presumption. And God says, I'm going to let you know the secret, the mystery of my will. I have a man, and my man will give a fullness to a reign of 1,000 years, in which he will demonstrate everything that has failed in the hands of men will be displayed in him in perfection. Marvelous thing for us all to consider. And if you think of man in every way in which he has been tried and tested and given responsibility and failed, you will find that in the fullness of the times, it will all be displayed perfectly in God's man, the man that we know as our Savior and our Lord. Things in heaven, things in earth, all brought under his control in perfection for the will of God, and for the blessing of all concerned. Praise his name. How glad we are that he will have that position. May we all be blessed for his name's sake.